Good evening. Let me turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time. As we look into the psalm, we pray for understanding. We pray that you would also awaken in us a greater thirst and desire for Christ. Indeed, he is the fairest of 10,000. He is the other lovely one. And we pray, Father, that our minds and our hearts would truly be consumed by his beauty, that we would desire to seek after him. So we pray, Lord, that you would instruct us from this psalm as to what our heart's desire ought to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the title of this psalm tells us that David wrote it when he was in the wilderness. And very likely the context of this passage, of the psalm, takes place when David fled Absalom, right? And it was in the wilderness to which he fled that he experienced how dry it was. Now, he's no stranger to the Judean wilderness. He had grown up in Bethlehem, that's not too far away. And as, you know, as the author of Psalm 23, he knew about the wilderness, what it looked like. But this dry heat, this desolation that he experienced, that he spoke about, it became a metaphor for his thirst for God. So in this psalm, we catch a glimpse of what our spiritual life ought to be, right? This psalm instructs us how we ought to search after God. Now we see from this psalm three instructions. Firstly, there ought to be a thirst for God. Secondly, when that thirst is filled by God, there will be satisfaction. And thirdly, we are advised to be constant in God. So firstly, David here describes his appetite for God. He thirsted. Verse 1 says, O thou, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, here we can see that David was not passive. You know, he was not passively content with God. But you see him earnestly seeking after God. Now, he uses the word God twice. You know, the first time he uses it, it is a vocative. It is a cry. You know, oh God, thou art my God. You know, in Hebrew, as well as in other languages, you emphasize things by repeating words, right? You know, Genesis, where the curse or the warning was given to Adam and Eve, in the day that thou shalt eat of the fruit, thou shalt surely die, right? That's a double usage of the word die. It's literally dying, you will die. And that's how it shows emphasis. And here, the emphasis, of course, is not on die, but the emphasis here is on God, right? It showed that David earnestly sought after God. And he says, early will I seek thee. Now, of course, the phrase, early will I seek thee, it is an accurate translation, but I think it's a bit awkward because it gives you the idea that you have to seek him early during the day. Which is not necessarily wrong, but how many of us, you know, really seek God early in the day? You know, the word there literally is where you get the word dawn from, right? So it gives you the idea that at the break of dawn, even before waiting for the sunrise to come, we're seeking God. Now, we don't take this literally, right? What it actually means is earnestly. Right, that's the metaphor there. It talks about eagerness in pursuing after God. Now, of course, it's not wrong if you do wake up early. It's just that even if you don't wake up early to seek God, you're not wrong either. Right? Now, the basis for this pursuit is because God is his God. O God, thou art my God. So at the heart of God's covenant with his people is the promise that he will be our God. Leviticus 26, verse 12 says, And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. So what we learn here is that once we know God to be our own God, this pursuit should be something natural. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the marks of conversion. And seeking after God, loving God, is one of those marks. And so David here describes the kind of longing, pursuit, the love that he had for God. He says, My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, David here is using his physical environment to describe the spiritual condition that God desires from his people. You know, Psalm 42 tells us, right, as a hart panteth for the water brooks, right, so do I pant after God. You know, that's the kind of attitude that God desires of us, to thirst after him. And here we have to be careful to note that David is having his physical conditions, right? But he is using these physical conditions to represent his spiritual need for God. Now, let's take a look at Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8. And here we see the bride was searching for her bridegroom. And in this verse, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Now, this is, of course, awkward. Sick of love, you know, in English means you're tired of love, right? But what it actually means here is, tell my beloved that I am lovesick. That's what it means. The bride was so earnestly in search of her bridegroom that she was sick. You know, I think the longest I had been away from my wife after we got married was when I went to Myanmar the first time, right? You know, some people would say, yeah, you've been away from her before. No, sure, but I suppose that was really the first time I was away for that long. Now, it wasn't that long. It was about, like, what, 8 days? But there was this love sickness. Now, the horrible thing is, the second time I was away, do you think I felt it? Not as much. Unfortunately, right? But the thing is, the kind of love we ought to have for God is this love sickness, right? The bride, if you read the context of Song of Solomon 5, the bridegroom knocked on her door, but she delayed. She did not get up out of her bed. She was tired, right? And so she procrastinated a bit, but when she got to the door, he wasn't there anymore. And then she started to think about how lovely he is. His face, his arms, his neck, his eyes, everything. And she started to pine after him. Now, the Song of Solomon is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so we see in verse 8, she was so frantic that she went around and she charged the daughters of Jerusalem, the bridesmaids, if you will, right? When they did find him, to tell him that she was lovesick. So this really tells us the kind of thirst, the kind of appetite we ought to have for the Lord. Now, secondly, in our spiritual life, we see here that we need to be satisfied in God. You know, when we seek God, if we seek him in this manner, you know, we will find him. We will find him. All right, Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me, and me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So when David thirsted, when he sought God, he found something wonderful. Now what did he find? We see in verse 3, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." You know, you think of your own spouse. You know, what is it that excites you about your spouse? Right, some would say, "Oh, it's how patient she is with me." Or it's how good she cooks. Or, you know, it's how she puts up with me. You know, but very often after you've been married for a while, you know, you may start to think, what are the things that really annoy me? But here, you know, David sought after God and he recognized everything else was nothing except for God's loving kindness. It was better to him than his own life, right? His own life. The word for loving kindness, you know, is the Hebrew equivalent of agape, right? The Hebrew word is chesed. And it describes God's faithful love, his covenant love. You know, the love that he has towards his people, and he will never forsake his word to them. So here, David was experiencing the love of God because he had thirsted after God. And really, this phrase, "thy loving kindness is better than life," you know, this phrase really, you know, has been the phrase of thousands of martyrs down the ages. Why do people die for Christ? Because his loving kindness is better than life. You know, they would die their life rather than denying Christ. His loving kindness is better than life. I mean, for us, we sometimes we can hardly drag ourselves out of bed to come to church. Well, that's in the morning, but we can hardly drag ourselves from our afternoon nap, okay, to come to church, right? But thousands of martyrs have considered his loving kindness to be better than life. You know, there's a story told, actually two stories. One story was there was a fairly famous legion of soldiers in Rome. They called them the 12th Legion. They were, you know, you could call them the SWAT team of those days. And this was in the year 300 AD or so, when people were still being persecuted for being Christians. And among the legion, the 12th Legion, there were 40 soldiers who were Christians. And there came a time when there was persecution by the Emperor Licinius. And he said, you know, I know that there are the ranks of the soldiers, and they have to be eliminated as well, because they were failing to eliminate the other Christians that the empire was persecuting. And so 40 of these soldiers were rounded up, and they were all stripped down, without shirts, without pants, and they were put in the frozen Tiber River. And so they were there, and they were told that if you renounce Christ, you can come out. All of them, right, started to die one by one in the freezing cold, until all of them died save one. And, you know, they were singing some song, right? 40 soldiers dying for Christ. That was their dying song that they sung. So one of them, the last one, decided that he would renounce Christ. And so he got up, went back, put on his clothes, he renounced Christ. But the moment he was doing that, one of the soldiers that was in charge of putting them to death, a Christian. And at that point in time, he had made the decision to join the rest while the 40th one renounced Christ. And so he went, took off all his clothes, and the next morning he was found dead. Right? They sung 40 soldiers dying for Christ. And indeed, there were 40 soldiers dying for Christ. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Another story is during the Boxer Rebellion in China. Right, the Boxers surrounded a Christian school, a girls' school. And they said to the 100 girls, they had blocked every exit but the front, you're allowed to live if you come out through this entrance and you trample on the wooden cross that they had put on the floor at the exit. So the first 7 girls came out, trampled on the cross, and they made their way out. The 8th girl came, knelt beside the cross, prayed for strength. She got up, walked around the cross, and exited, and there was a firing squad and they shot her. And all of the other girls, the 92 left in the school, followed her example, gained courage, walked out that gate, and all of them were shot. Why? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. So this is the kind of satisfaction, you know, we ought to have in Christ. Now, while verse 1 pictures the soul's longing for Christ, verse 5 pictures the satisfaction. Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So like a thirsty soul finding a feast, you know, true seekers of God are promised, you know, that satisfaction. You know, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, when we seek, we find. You know, Jesus himself said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, when we seek and thirst after God, there will be satisfaction. But lastly, from this psalm, we see the third thing to note about our spiritual lives, and that really is constancy in and of God. Constancy in and of God. Verse 8 says, "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." Now this is not just, you know, a one-time seeking of God. You know, I know Ken, you know, generally says, you know, oh, after the, let's keep that spiritual high. That spiritual high will wane if it's just emotional. But a constant pursuit of God defies emotion. You know, it keeps on pursuing even though the emotion is not there. But by the pursuit, the emotion comes. Right? By the pursuit, the emotion comes. I mean, Jesus himself said, "For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also." Now, it's interesting. He didn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. But where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Right? When we invest strongly enough in something, our hearts change. You know, it was, I think, J.C. Ryle. You know, a lot of people say, "I don't pray because I don't feel like praying." You know, but when you say that, you only add sin to sin. In the same way, we seek after God because we must. And here we see a constancy, right? "My soul followeth hard after thee." So it's a constant pursuit. This can be translated as "my soul follows close behind you." Now this word "followeth hard," right? It's the same Hebrew word as the word found in Genesis 2:24. You know what word that is? Right? "A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave. That's the word here. "Followeth hard." So, you know, the word "cleave," and in Genesis 2:24, speaks about the closest human relationship on earth, right? Which is husband and wife. You forsake all others. But the most important relationship is between the believer and Christ. Right? What did Jesus say? You know, if you are to follow me, you have to deny yourself. And not just that, but you have to, in comparison to Christ, hate father, mother, etc., etc. We are to prefer Christ above all other things, right? So this refers to the constancy of Jesus' disciples. But likewise, you see in the same verse, verse 8, "Thy right hand upholdeth me." That is God's constancy. It shows that God makes it possible for us to follow hard after him because he upholds us. Right? But with what? With his hand, right? "He upholdeth me with his right hand." What did Jesus say? Right? No man is able to pluck you out of my father, because we're upheld by God. God is constant, and that is why we can pursue after him. You know, there's one, I have a favorite, one of my favorite hymns. It's a bit unsingable, which is why I've never really introduced it, but it's a reversification of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, right? And it talks about a pilgrim. And there are two interesting stanzas there, because it talks about the pilgrim pursuing hard after God, being valiant, but in another stanza, it talks about how God is the one who defends us. And that is why we can pursue after God. Right? Now, let me just read you in conclusion two stanzas. It says, "He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Since, Lord, Thou dost defend us with thy spirit. We know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away. I'll fear not what men say. I'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for how loving he is. We pray, Lord, that you would help us early, earnestly, to seek after him, that we may be filled. And we pray our seeking after Christ will be constant, because he is constant. We pray this in his name. Amen.